Our world's jolliest utopian optimist would have to be Professor Jeffrey Sachs, quixotic policy wonk, or the economic and environmental Gandhi of our times. What do you think? As director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University and author most recently of The Age of Sustainable Development, Sachs has been championing sustainability goals throughout his career, and he says if history has taught us anything on this planet, it's that we can't wait until a crisis hits before we act.
Crises do not lead to good outcomes in general. They lead to further crises. I'm scared, in other words, of the reality that certain places in the world could really, in effect, become uninhabitable in the sense that crop production plummets, hunger rises. And in general, while I'd like to say that that will give us the sense of common mission, truly, when crises come, they have a very high risk of spinning out of control. One could say, for example, in the Middle East right now, in Syria, there was a massive drought for 10 years between 2000 and 2010. Indeed, some of my colleagues just wrote about the sub-period 2006 to 2010, which was the worst drought in modern Syrian history. Well, we can see what happened, actually. There was a big dislocation of population. Food prices soared, as you would expect when crops fail. There were then demonstrations and unrest. Assad brutally put them down. An insurrection resulted from that. And then the outside powers, including us, the United States, poured in money and other kind of support. And lo and behold, there's a full-blown war in Syria, more than 200,000 people dead since the spring of 2011. It's a horrific example of how things can go seriously wrong. So my general advice to the world is don't wait for the crises to provoke all that good cooperation. We better head off more of these crises, as many as possible. I can mention, by the way, in the same vein and same region, 10 years ago, I was invited by the president of Yemen, President Saleh, the former president of Yemen, to have a look at the country because of the economic crisis. And I was shocked. This was back in 2005. I came back to Washington. I said, that place is absolutely a tinderbox. It's going over the edge. We should do something from a development point of view. Of course, no one cared. Who could care about Yemen? You know, what difference, basically?
The Saudis do. They say, U.S., stay away.
And today, it's chaos. Predictable. That is a absolute smash-up that I've watched in slow motion for a decade. And as the crisis deepened, as the water crisis deepened, as the poverty crisis deepened, lo and behold, we have the disaster that we have right now. So unfortunately, when the crisis hits, it tends to be grab what you can, save yourself, and the rest be damned. And that actually, of course, is the recipe for spiraling disaster.
What's the lesson from the Ebola crisis in that so much of the impetus for solving that was at the local level, and many people in places like Sierra Leone and Nigeria and Monrovia, for that matter, say that it is really a critique of the top-down view of international development.
Well, it is a very vivid example of how poorly we handle crises once they're fully exploding, as in an epidemic. The real lesson is quite straightforward, which is that Ebola is a lethal disease that, in principle, is not that hard to control if you get the control when it's at an early stage. What happened in the three highly affected countries, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, is that they didn't have even a rudimentary health system in place. And so this epidemic spread, ran completely outside of the bounds of local control. And then the international system is a poor respondent. It comes late. It comes inadequately. They trip all over each other in often contradictory ways of trying to win turf among the international agencies where no one is getting the job done effectively. And it has been now well over a year of this epidemic running out of control, and it's still not under control. What's the advice? The advice, again, is prevention is a lot better than response. And what every country needs is at least a basic rudimentary primary health system. No news in that. Putting that in place is also pretty straightforward. I've been, for the last dozen years, propounding a very low cost, roughly $80 per person per year, basic health system for such countries. But even that tiny amount has been beyond the means of the countries themselves, and the international community, such as it is, hasn't seen fit yet to provide the financing at that level. So once again, I'm advocating a new global fund for health systems to be adopted this year at the United Nations as we adopt sustainable development goals. And I'm shopping door to door, I could say, government to government, saying, please put in money for this. That's the real lesson of the Ebola epidemic.
You have plenty of work to do, and this book is an indication of that. And again, we wish you continued success with this book and in carrying that mission door to door. As a sort of conclusion question, how heartened are you by the kinds of people who request to intern with your organization? And let's exclude the ones who come from sort of Ivy League households there in Midtown around the United Nations who go to private schools.
Look, I tell my students their assignment is their homework assignment is end extreme poverty. And I tell them it's open book, work together. You have 15 years to do it, but get on the task. And they want to do it, and they're going to do it.
Jeffrey Sachs is director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University and author most recently of The Age of Sustainable Development. Thanks so much, Jeffrey.
What a pleasure to be with you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.